You're listening to Radio Waterloo, 102.7 FM, CKMS. I'm Aaron, and this is Shuffle Time. As I said, you are listening to Shuffle Time. I'm Aaron. This is a show where I play music that represents the feeling of listening to my library on shuffle, almost literally this time. I put this together while I was on a train last week, I was picking a lot of them as I was literally just flipping through shuffle. Some more intentionality there, but close to the spirit anyway. Right now you're listening to Sonic Youth. Their track Sunday from 1998 and the album A Thousand Leaves, which I think is still not fully reappraised. I think people generally like this one, but they should like it a lot more. I think it's one of the best Sonic Youth albums. And I feel like a lot of people would go for this one more these days, I would think. It's like more jammy, which seems to be kind of in step with I don't know, where a lot of similar type music is headed. But yeah, like when the guitar starts chugging in the middle of there, it's just really good stuff. That's a more straight ahead one for them, for at least for that album. That album has a lot of longer drawn out songs. That one's the more, you know, that was the single, right? And I think it's the second track on the album, not quite the lead, but A Perfect Language Sunday afternoon. And what you're listening to now is Shabazz Palaces, The King's New Clothes Were Made by His Own Hand. 2011 the album Black Up. Playing this because when I was on the train last week, I was headed to see Diggable Planets in concert, the great 90s jazz hip-hop band that I played on the show, on my last show. Shabazz Palaces is the kind of the follow-up act from one of the members, Butterfly. Which is a really much weirder thing. Although watching the band live, I realized that they had some of that weirdness in them already, and it's not that much of a stretch. But this is really weird stuff. This is like one of the first 20 or so hip-hop albums I ever, like the first 20 I ever listened to, probably. I mentioned Two Nerds on the last show as like one of the first albums that I listened to just because of like a Pitchfork review or whatever. This was another one of them. Anyway, Diggable Planets was a great live show. They played with full five-piece backing band, which then kind of like extended a lot of their songs into like full jazz funk jams. They incorporated like a lot of like classic hip-hop tracks into there. It was kind of funny. Jay-Z did like some big show where he played his track Where I'm From, except he was rapping Where I'm From over the New York State of Mind beat. And then Nas was rapping New York State of Mind over the Where I'm At beat. What I saw was Diggable Planets perform their song Where I'm From, unrelated, and then they put the message in the middle of their Grandmaster Flash. So I thought that was way cooler to me. Anyway, I just talked over that entire track, but it's a pretty short one. But it's really good. Diggable Planets was a great show. None of the main MCs lost their touch, despite not really doing any new music together in the last 30 years, and two out of three barely do any music at all. It was a great show. Really enjoyed it. And now we're on to Mahmoud Ahmed, Ere Mala Mela, from 1975. Probably the most famous Ethiopian singer worldwide. I don't know. I'm no expert, but from what I can tell anyway, he was one of the first Ethiopians to perform in the U.S., for whatever that's worth, after political unrest forced a lot of Ethiopians out of the country. He also played with, what's the band called? The band that played with Haile Mergia. Escapes me, but they also play a lot there too. This album's been re-released a few times. The one you're most likely to be able to listen to these days is part of the Ethiopeat series of releases, which releases like a lot of great classic Ethiopian music. If you're at all interested in Ethiopian music, check that stuff out. This is the first track on that re-release, not necessarily on the original album, but on the re-release days. So, Tizita music. I played the track Tizita, you know, however you want to anglicize it, by, God, why is his name escaping me? The most famous Ethiopian guy right now. I played that on a show a while back, and this is kind of like what the actual genre is. Mulatto Astake. It's just basically like these very kind of dramatic yearning songs. So anyway, I'm gonna shut up now because I have talked through almost, you know, two full songs here. So enjoy this track.
Eremila, batzingeni Erenila, erabibitema Erenila, menamen undela Erenila, tegabian txigara Erenila, lehonun metxata Erenila, indomela bera Erenila, indomela bera Erenila, alfeldek enfekere kantxile
keyboards from Ryuichi Sakamoto there, who I've talked about in previous shows, so I won't go on too much there. Although you also got bass from Haruomi Hosono, so you got two-thirds of Yellow Magic Orchestra before Yellow Magic Orchestra were even a thing. They were all session musicians that got together. Also backing vocals from Tatsuro Yamashita, so you know you got all kinds of Japanese superstars here. This is Tayako Onuki, her track Tokai from 1977, I believe that translates to City. I saw those, you've ever seen those images online, social media, whatever, of Japanese music shops being annoyed at all the tourists, foreigners, like, looking like just for city pop and whatever. They're talking about, you know, Masayoshi Takanaka, Tatsuro Yamashita, Cassiopeia, stuff like that. I think Nujabes was on the hit list too. I did always think it was a little weird how much city pop took hold as like a Western, you know, more recent obviously phenomenon. Simply just because like all of its American counterparts were supposed to be deemed like really uncool. And I listened to this, I'm like, isn't everyone supposed to hate this stuff? But I don't know. Classic case of the thing Japan meme, I guess. Which isn't to say that there isn't lots of great city pop, and you know, obviously I'm playing it right now. There's also lots of great other Japanese music, which you'll hear plenty of if you listen to my show. I don't really intend to play that much Japanese music, but it just kind of crops up. I don't know. But this is early city pop before the sound really got, you know, full into the 80s, 77. It's still a little more tasteful. It's kind of evolving out of like the early, they called it new music, in like the early 70s. And it's got a little more flavor to it, I think, than some of the really poppy stuff. Not that this is poppy too, but, and Taiko Onuki, she's a really likable singer. I've listened to a few of her albums and, always a good presence there. So I like this track. You want to talk about some killer session musicians. Well, not session musicians, but, you know, I mean, I mentioned a lot of cool people playing on the last track. Here we got Herbie Hancock with Freddie Hubbard, Ron Carter, and Tony Williams. Like, are you kidding me? Tony Williams only 19 years old here. It's not one of the show here performances, but still, you know, showing the early promise. This is Cantaloupe Island, 1964. Feels kind of like an update on Watermelon Man from a couple years before that. I don't know. He had a melon thing, I guess. Never did like what Honeydew House. Should that have been the next one? I don't know. But yeah, Hubbard and Herb are just like fantastic here. So. Thank you. right. So Nathan over at 88.1 CKDU over in Halifax with his own show and Dance Grammar, similar to this show, but with an ostensible focus on danceable music. But I believe tomorrow he'll be doing a show about the top 100 tracks of 1956 at 11 p.m. EST. So if you want to check that out, I would recommend it because you're going to learn a lot of great, great music there. Doing a top 100 for like that for 56 is, I think, is a pretty impressive undertaking. He did last one last year he did one for 1975, which is already really cool. But 56 is like well before the album era, which like LPs were, the LP itself was not even 10 years old at that point. It wasn't really a popular consumer album. It certainly, as an artistic unit, you weren't really seeing a lot of that. Like, there were some, but not many. Even jazz, which kind of like adopted the album as like an art form first, or earlier, I guess, than a lot of other genres. Even there, like, there aren't a lot of like capital C classic jazz albums from 56. A lot of the albums then were just, you know, a single and a bunch of, you know, half-assed covers, or actually, it wasn't even that really. It was mostly they were compiling a bunch of old singles, if they even did anything at all. So kind of digging through all that to find like 100 great tracks, it's a difficult endeavor. So I'm sure it's a lot of research. Well, it is a lot of research. I've been trying to build my library a little bit there, because I noticed mine was a little bit lacking, even in some obvious stuff. I had this one already though. This is Honey Hush, the first track from one of the few albums from 56 that I think really is worth checking out, from Johnny Burnett and the Rock and Roll Trio. I assume that track will not make the list, because that album has Train Kept Rollin', when they have the definitive version of that track. It was fantastic. But that's a cover of a big Joan Turner track, Honey Hush. I really like those burping, distorted guitars. Early guitar distortion there. Now we're on to something later. Gil Scott-Heron, New York Is Killing Me from 2010, last album he did before he died. This whole album was remixed by Jamie XX a year later, and then famously sampled on Drake's Take Care. And revisiting that album recently, I was surprised, but I don't know, I don't really like the Jamie XX version, but I still like this original version a lot. Produced by XL owner Richard Russell. And I think all the electronics and stuff here, Gil Scott-Heron's weary voice like really fits with the, like, the hand clap and the sort of minimalist production. Works with the poetry, and this track basically feels like a blues song. And I mean, he did die a year later of complications downstream of drug use. So this track, New York Is Killing Me, and I guess it was killing him.
I lay down, I lay down. I stopped and tried to take it on in. Yeah, lay down, lay down. I tried to take it on in. Yeah, they got 8 million people, and I didn't have a single friend. Don't you know, don't you know, New York was killing me. Yes, I was standing there and dying, and New York was killing me. Seemed like I need to start over and go back home in Jackson, Tennessee. Lord have mercy, mercy on me. Yeah, Lord have mercy on me. Tell him to bury my body back home in Jackson, Tennessee. need to be back home, yeah. Born in Chicago, but I go home, Tennessee.
Transitions wacky enough? Actually, this album gets a lot wackier. This is a John Zorn Latin Quarter from his 1990 album, Naked City. Half this album, probably more than half this album, is like grindcore, basically. You know, just swap in some like instrumental Napalm Death kind of stuff. Not quite that. And then you get just relatively straightforward jazzy stuff like this, too. And I don't know, there's a whole mix in there. I don't care. And then John Zorn just kind of comes in like a bat out of hell there, squealing. So, you know, I mean, that's kind of the album you're going to get. A great guitar on this track from Bill Frisell, piano Wayne Horvitz. Yeah, this is one of the more conventional tracks on the album, but conventional is not bad in this case. And even, you know, by jazz standards, it's still kind of silly stuff. Sounds kind of like, you know, roadside bar stuff, if there were guys who were just like willing to let loose a little bit, and certainly they can let loose. It sounds sort of like something you might hear in like a David Lynch thing. I sort of assumed that he had shown up in a David Lynch thing at some point, but no, I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking of like the Bill Pullman saxophone stuff in Lost Highway or something, but this could have been in like Twin Peaks Season 3, like the roadside bar bits too. I don't know. This is fun. good rollickin' rocker from ABBA. I don't really go for the guitar stuff with ABBA as much as the keyboard stuff. The guitar stuff, I think, being more Bjorn, and the keyboard stuff being more Benny. This one kind of, well, it starts off sounding more of a guitar one, although there's more keyboard stuff and piano stuff that kind of filters in through the rest of the song. By the end of it, it's certainly a lot of good, you know, jammy bits at the end, but certainly the guitars at the beginning, not something I typically expect out of an ABBA song. But, you know, this is just a good, fun one. So long, 1975. Stuff is like catnip to me. Harmonia, their track Dino, I think you're supposed to pronounce it Dino. I think it's like just dinosaur. I don't know. As far as I know, there's no German translation here, but this is a German group from the 70s, made of members from Neu and Cluster, two famous kraut rock, Kosnisch, or whatever you want to call them, German 70s group bands. Cluster, I guess, is more on the synthy electronic side. Neu sometimes wasn't. Certainly the motoric beat there, that steady groove comes, I think, more from Neu than Cluster. And there's lots of great styles of German music from the 70s, especially. But this particular flavor of it, with the kind of liquid neon tones, bright colors, this stuff is always just easy. I just love this stuff. Neu being from Dusseldorf, Cluster being from Berlin, which were kind of two main schools of German music in the 70s. I'm taking a solo trip to Berlin soon. I am not a person who travels a lot, so this is kind of exciting. Obviously won't be doing any shows then. I don't know. I guess I don't really have that much interesting to say about that right now, but I'm looking forward to it. Now we have Peter McConnell. Anyone paying attention to the gaming news lately knows that things are pretty bad right now. Things are pretty bad all over these days. I mean, we've got the air quality index at 11 full Spinal Tap hours. Can't eat lettuce. Well, you can't. Get the Canadian lettuce, which should hopefully not make you poop violently. But yeah, gaming stuff, not good these days. PlayStation not making discs. Microsoft is gutting like all their dev teams, laying off like half of Xbox. You know, PC stuff is just in shambles right now. The Steam machine costs like $1 billion because it's all being taken by, all the parts are being taken by AI stuff. Just things are bad right now. And this is from Psychonauts 2, developed by Double Fine, one of the Microsoft studios that still exists but is no longer owned by Microsoft. They are now indie again after they were purchased by Microsoft. They released like two games, I think. And then they did a whole documentary about the creation of Psychonauts 2, which is all for free on YouTube. If you're at all interested in game development, it's a really interesting watch. This track is called The Questionable Areas. It's from the game Psychonauts 2. This plays in kind of like one of the outdoor hub areas, which is very relaxed, folky. There's no danger, enemies, or anything there. And it's a game all about like psychic powers and stuff like that, so they kind of lean into it and add like some psychedelic flourishes into this music. This is really the only track from that soundtrack that I listen to a lot, but I like it a lot. Some pedal steel guitar. I recently read the 33 and a third book on Wowie Zowie, the Pavement album that this is from. This track is called Father to a Sister of Thought. I also grabbed Kraftwerk's Computer World. For those who don't know, the 33 and a third books are an author takes a... They just write a whole book about one particular album. They're usually really short books. They're like... A lot of them are like 100 to 200 pages, but they're tiny books, so there's not a lot of words on each page. I haven't read any of these in a while. I'd usually just like pick them up as I saw them randomly, but you just don't see them anymore. They used to be able to find them in like regular bookstores and stuff, but I don't see them at these places anymore. So I was at Sonic Boom a few months ago, and I just wound up, they got them there. You know, I enjoyed the read, but my main takeaway from reading both of these is that they just kind of let whoever write these things. The Wowie Zowie one is an older one. Computer World is a little bit newer, I think. And I mean, that's part of the appeal of the 33 and a third books, is that each one can kind of be whatever it wants to be, right? I mean, some of the more well-known ones, I guess, are, you've got Carl Wilson's book on the Celine Dion album, Let's Talk About Love, where he's just trying to figure out why people love Celine Dion so much when he hates her music, which became kind of this whole Poptimist text, and it became a whole thing. You got John Darnielle, The Mountain Goats. He wrote a book about about the Black Sabbath album. Pardon. Did not bring water with me. My mistake. He wrote about the Black Sabbath album, Master of Reality, which he wrote as kind of like a novel from the perspective of like a kid who's really in love with this album. And you get all kinds of ones. And they also have like books about like different genres and stuff instead of particular albums. I got one about Krautrock, which actually led me to that Harmonia track earlier. And there's one about South African music and stuff. And anyway, there's all kinds of different stuff. The Wowie Zowie one is like mainly some like light personal anecdotes paired with like interviews with the band, which are nice, but not necessarily revelatory. Still a good read. One of the interviews, they're interviewing, I think Stephen Malkmus is who they're interviewing. It's like the main guy of the band. And he thought at the time that the track he was just playing, Father to a Sister of Thought, could have been a bigger single. And the guy interviewing them is like, what are you thinking? And I'm reading it, and I'm like, I don't know, why not? Like, I don't know. Maybe I just like pedal steel guitar too much, but... Anyway, I like those books. I think they're interesting. It's really hit and miss. There's some good ones, there's some bad ones. They're just fun to pick up every once in a while, I guess. What you're listening to now is Emmanuel Jal and Abdel Gadir Salim from Sudan. I've been making more of an effort to listen to like some, you know, various artist compilations lately, and also trying to make more of an effort to actually like go back and listen to the music that I find from them, because like when you have like random one-off tracks from different artists, it's they're easy to get lost in your library, especially, you know, if you're listening to Shuffle, and again, you're listening to Shuffle Time on CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo. It's easy to forget about them, and listening to Shuffle, you know, if I'm shuffling 20,000 songs or whatever, then, you know, one track from one artist, what's the odds, right? So I'm making more of an active effort to try and re-listen to some of the stuff, get more familiar with it. This one I grabbed from the Rough Guide to Acoustic Africa from the World Music Network. Always a good kind of grounding thing for trying to get into a particular country's music or genre music or whatever. And these guys actually show up in a couple of other Rough Guides, Rough Guide to Sudan and to the Sahara. Emmanuel Jal, you don't really even really hear on this track. I think this is mostly Abdel Gadir Salim. But Emmanuel Jal's got former child soldier who escaped to Kenya and became a rapper. I think he settled in Toronto eventually. But Abdel Gadir Salim is a Muslim elder, also from Sudan, who's compared here. And I like this track a lot. I kind of talked over the part that was a little slow, and I'm still talking over it. And I'm going to shut up now because this part is really good.
السفر بس كن جوارا السفر بس كن جوارا ونعيش مع سجالة بيت أمك قبة زوارا السفر بس كن جوارا نعيش مع سجالة بيت أمك قبة زوارا يما قل الجوالة السفر بس كن جوارا Yeah. البارع
يا مبارك
خشيمة حليب البارع
يا مبارك
وخشيمة حليب البارع
يا مبارك
Todd Terje, a Norwegian electronic disco-esque kind of guy. Never really realized until recently that the name's supposed to be like Todd Terje. Released a bunch of singles EPs, named his anticipated album It's Album Time, and then as far as I know, we never really heard from this guy again. Kind of cheesy band stuff, but I still like that album. I remember trying to play Inspector Norris, which is like kind of one of his big... I think probably his biggest song. I tried playing that as a party, like a normal person party, in 2012, and I was like fresh out of high school or something. And someone listening to me was like, "What the hell is this?" Disparagingly. And at the time, I was kind of offended, but I get it. Honestly, I think that was a bit of a stretch. It was not attuned to what the people needed. So now in 2026, you too can tell me what's going on. I don't like this. But that's your fault. I like how this one builds and builds into weirder and goofier sounds. I got one track after this.
Limited supply.
Closing it out with something kind of heavy. Cat and Beef Art, Big Ad Beans from Beans. Honestly, the more I listen to the old blues stuff, the more I respect Beef Art Steel. He's obviously pulling a lot from Howlin' Wolf, but you can hear a lot of him in other earlier blues artists as well. You hear Trap Master Replica, or Willie the Pimp, or whatever, and you assume that like Cat and Beef Art is like doing just doing a bit the whole time, but I think a lot of it is more sincere than you might think. Funny in the way blues has always been funny, intense in the way it's always been intense. Certainly this guitar from Zoot Horn Rollo and Rockette Morton is really intense. I don't know what a Big Eyed Bean is, but it's evocative. Thank you for listening. Once again, this is Shuffle Time. You're listening to CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo. I'm Aaron. And good night!
Let your wallets flop out and women open your purses. Cause a man or a woman without a big eyed bean from Venus is suffering with a waste. That's the case. Yeah, you're suffering with a waste. That's the case. river. And when the night comes, you don't have to go out and get them. They'll glow with you. They'll go with you. They'll shower with you. Ain't no losers, 'cause they're on the right track. 'Cause they're on the right track. You can be on the right track, woman.
Of course, of course.
Ain't no snafu, no fall to your wrong. Check these out, big eyed beams from Venus. I'll let a few out. Let them pass in between us.
Distant cousins, there's a limited supply. And we're down to the dozens, and this is why.
Get in between us. Big eyed beams from Venus. Big eyed beams from Venus.